on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the house we have, no Aaron Bell, I'm just saying it off air, we've got to change that intro piece because no Aaron, no Elliot this evening, but we do have the game caller, Michael Gledhill, and we do have next to me the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the ever present, the postman, he always delivers.
I think Craig's got that trademarked on his mic.
the postman. So what's he the postman for? What's he always delivering?
Because he always delivers the big transfer players.
Okay.
And as we discussed last week, one of those is Luke Gale.
So that's the inside track. That's not actually official, though, is it?
No. Unofficial.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a suggestion last week.
Yeah, we were talking about a little bit earlier before. You don't have to be right. You just got to be first in today's social media world. So I'm going to say it here first. Ross has signed for Brisbane Broncos.
Well.
And he'll be representing Tonga in the World Cup.
No one else is going to play for them. I'm not sure if signing for Brisbane's a good thing at the minute, the season they've just had.
Wow, yes. Okay, loads come up on the show today. We want to make it really interactive, like it's been over the last couple of weeks. We're going to hear from the boys. We're going to look back at the games from last week. And we're going to look forward to the games coming up this weekend also. And it's just going to be rugby league. But first, we're going to start with Mick's been on his 10p travels again. Where have you been to this week, Mick?
Oh, I've been everywhere. I've been to Bridlington, Chester, Carlisle. Oh, yes.
We've got to pose a question. Northern Rail, why haven't you got... This guy's travelling everywhere across the M62 divide, across the north of England and anywhere in and outside. Northern Rail only goes northern England, doesn't it?
Yeah. But
being that they sponsor rugby league, being that you're a rugby league personality, why haven't they got you doing promoting this 10p travel and writing blogs and doing video updates of your journeys and all the wonderful, magical things that you have enjoyed whilst travelling on that national railway? We like all other railways as well. I have to say that, I think.
You pose a very interesting question, Robbie.
Why haven't they?
I know they've been sharing and retweeting and sharing the Facebook post, but yeah, I think you're right. They have missed a trick.
It's not come yet. It's coming.
I tell you what, I can tell you the best place for fish and chips in Chester.
You know the best place for fish and chips across the north of England, don't you? You can sniff out a fish and chip gold mine, treasure trove.
Well, the diet's starting, so I'm going to be a bit of a salad connoisseur in the off-season.
Are you really?
Have you come across any of them old Northern Rail Rugby League trains on your travels, mate? There's an old Buster's, Jane Buster Feather, is he still in circulation?
Yeah. You still see...
You talk about championship players on side
and
trains.
A lot of people might not know that, but you know, Northern Rail do actually sponsor rugby league, and they are part of the Super League and the AFL. They're travel partner, yeah, for away fans.
But we do like all the rest of the national.
LNER, Virgin,
East Coast Rail, and you name it, we'll just keep on naming them. We like them all. We like yous all. Well, let's talk about it a little bit differently. We love travelling by rail.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And the reality is, also, I think we did a little bit of mathematics around it. There's a train stop at every major rugby league club across every single division.
Just not there isn't one at Lee, Robbie. So when I go to Lee, it's very painful. You've got to get off at Atherton,
yes,
and then get a bus.
I know that because I caught a train there for my Freaky Friday.
We
played a game on a Thursday night, and we had a night out on the Friday on the drink, and I had to catch a train to Atherton and then a cab to the Lee Sports Village.
Yep, there you go. You've done it.
Okay, well, that ties rugby league into it as well, doesn't it? So let's talk rugby league, boys. Weekend's come and gone. What are your thoughts? So let's look back at the first game that we saw over the course of the weekend. I wanted to bring this up because I think it's important. I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about, the development and growth of rugby league as a sport in this country, right down to the politics of it all. Wigan versus Salford was on Friday night. Warrington versus Castleford was on Thursday night. But the attendance figures for both games, I think, was in the region around about 14,000, 15,000 collectively for both games. For what should be the penultimate games of their club seasons, the turnout in numbers were terrible.
Mm. It was,
Warrington,
Robert,
especially, 4,000. If you watched that game, you could see the big holes, big gaps.
And the main problem facing Rugby League and Super League from last weekend is that, as you say, on the regular season games, over 10,000 supporters have gone missing. And, you know, how do you interpret that? Well, you interpret those...
They had an average of 11,000.
Yeah, those fans have basically just said that this product is not worth paying for at the most important time of the season, and that's very frustrating for myself and you, Robbie. And
could it be though? So extenuating factors that you have to take into account. And for me, like Thursday night, that's one. Mm. It's not an ideal. Always attendance figures are low on a Thursday night. Two, probably the biggest factor is season tickets weren't included. Are never included in playoff games.
That's correct.
That's it. That's all I got.
Still knockout rugby league. It was do or die. And I think it's embarrassing for the sport that, you know, you've only got a crowd of 5,000, which is pretty much half of what Warrington Castleford got during the season for what is effectively their club's most important game. You are effectively two games away from running out at Old Trafford in the grand final, and half of the support base have just decided, well, I've got to pay £20, I'm going to sit and watch it on TV or listen on the radio.
It was on Sky.
So how do we address that? Well, because
I think you just got to make it accessible. I think it's a pricing thing, and I think it's a Thursday night. And Thursday night, you know, a lot of people get home from work late, you get home or whatever, your kids are getting home from school, then you've got to get home, get ready, go back out, get to the ground, plus you're paying an extra £20 per head, you know what I mean? You add that up per family, that's like, what, £70? It could be £80.
Plus food, drink,
you know what I mean?
Let's be honest, like stadium prices for food and drink, they have a concentrated market, so they do pump it up.
But yeah, maybe just put them on weekends and make the pricing structure accessible. If you've got a season ticket, you know, make it half the price or whatever, something like that. Because, you know, I think Thursday doesn't help, but yeah, you need to do some more.
Now, people will say, well, it wasn't marketed well enough. It wasn't, you know, X, Y, Z. You didn't do this well enough. Didn't do that well enough. Well, the reality is, for clubs, it's a difficult thing to market because you don't know where you're going to finish, especially this year. It was so close at the top. It actually, up until probably the 2 weeks before, you didn't know who was going to be guaranteed in that top four. The way the table finished off, well, Hull FC and Castle both finished on 30 points. Warrington finished on 32 points. They didn't know until the final week, the final round, that actually they were going to be in the playoffs. So how do you invest money into, let's say you run a 2 month campaign beforehand, we hope we're in the semi-finals, we hope we're going to be in this game, we don't know what night we want you to buy your ticket on, because that will come out sort of like the week before, depending upon, because Sky have that ability to move games that quickly. So it's a hard thing to market. Is it really the club's fault? Or is it the scheduling of the games that is actually the biggest issue here?
I just think a bit of buzzing about for these playoffs in Super League. I think the buzz for it's not there like it normally is. You know, that's how I feel. I mean, if you look at Championship, we have very healthy crowds in Championship. You know, the Fev York game were a big crowd. You know, the Toronto game were a big crowd. You know what I mean? I think everyone's excited and everyone's more buzzing about Championship than they are Super League right now this year.
So, just to put it into context, so Super League, Warrington versus Castleford. Warrington, who averaged, and they were at home, averaged 11,000 people to the game, to their games. Toronto, lower division, semi-final, first of the qualifying semi-finals. They get 9,325 people to that game. York City Knights, that traditionally have never had a good following in the modern era of the game of rugby league. York versus Featherstone had 3,200, effectively a couple of thousand short of Warrington. They're the big, I mean, I don't, for me, it can't just be price.
No.
It isn't. I think it's we need to try and, as a sport, try and we need to address the root cause of the problem. And I think the low playoff attendances, certainly at Warrington and Wigan, are a symptom of the game's current state. Now, I've spoken to a couple of Super League CEOs since the last weekend, and I know that one of the clubs is going to send a mail out to all their season ticket holders and try and work out why half of their fan base did not turn up for their game.
Oh, yeah, that's Warrington, isn't it?
Yeah.
Carl Fitzpatrick has come out and he said, "Yo, look, we're going to contact our supporters and find out what exactly went on." And I reckon it's a mixture of those things. One, I can sit at home and I can watch it at home. Two, like what Ross was just talking about, I don't have to rush home. I can take my time, come from work. Me and my family and my kids can sit there. We don't have to pay anything extra and we can enjoy this game on the box. And it doesn't cost anything. It doesn't cost anything extra. You know, I bought my season ticket. I supported my club at the beginning of the year when they needed the funds most to bridge that gap between there being no games, and it didn't cost anything.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Kia ora and welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live at the Pulse 2 studios, in the studio with Ross Peltier, Mick Liddell, the game caller, and the reggae warrior, respectively. Guys, what have we been talking about? We've been talking about the low attendance figures, but let's talk about the games themselves. Did you enjoy the games? I thought they were cracking. Very close as well.
Yeah, they were very close. You know, I said Warrington game would be 2 points in it. Obviously, I guess it'd go the wrong way, but... yeah, I was right about that one.
Don't speed pass, I got it wrong. That's why I was, you know, kicking back sides and taking names at the beginning of the year and now our little thing that we had.
Yeah.
Well, I tipped Castleford and the game went exactly how I thought it would do. Warrington put up a bit of a fight and unfortunately...
he thought it would do.
Well, are you telling me that you didn't think Warrington looked a little bit jaded, a little bit flat, a little bit, you know... This down on the luck, whereas Castleford,
I can't argue.
You know, Castleford went in that game with that momentum and, a real strong performance. And, I know we're going to talk about the games coming up a little bit later on, but I can't call that game tomorrow night.
We'll get to it. We will get to it. And Salford and Wigan?
Yeah, good game. You know, Salford have shown you how quality they've been all year and, you know, they're showing quality performances in playoffs and... Wigan just had that, you know, it's Wigan in it in playoffs. So. Yeah, I reckon they're going to get to a grand final, man.
You do?
Yeah, I reckon they're going to get a grand final.
They're certainly, Adrian Lamb's got them firing at the right time. And that game on Friday night, wow. I know we've talked a lot about the attendances, but put the attendances to one side, that was one of the games of the season. Real, you know, edge to edge, end to end. And Salford can really, you know, count themselves unlucky because, you know, I thought they were, you know, really unlucky to not be going to Langtree Park and facing St. Helens on Friday night. And I know there was the talk about potentially the 8-point try. I think after we've watched the numerous replays, it should have been given as an 8-point try and that potentially could have changed the game. In my opinion, yes, in my opinion. I think there is contact late in the act of the try scorer when it was underneath the post. You know what? I tell you what. Salford, if they can get past Castleford, whoever loses between St. Helens and Wigan, wow, they don't want to be facing Salford.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to put it out. I think we're going to go to beat Saints in this next round. I think they're not going to do it.
We'll leave that to the last. Let's leave that because that's some juice there. That's why I love having you two on the show because you actually talk what you think.
And in the championship, Robert, wow, you know, Saturday afternoon, Bootham Crescent, it was rocking. Yeah. Commiserations to James Ford and York. You know, they've had a really fantastic, a great season. They can hold their heads up high. But again, you know, we talked a little bit last week, you know, momentum in rugby league is a massive thing. And Featherstone, after going away to Lee and beating Lee in their own backyard, they took that momentum to York. And guess what? They're now going to take it to Toulouse on Sunday for another great game. And yeah, you know what? York and Featherstone, I know the scoreline was a little bit lopsided as Featherstone ran away with it in the closing minutes, but another great advert for the championship.
Yeah, I were at that Toulouse Featherstone game of a week, and you know where Fev think, you know, they got robbed pretty much. So I think they're going to go over to Toulouse with, you know, they've got that bit of a chip on the shoulder, and you know the way they're playing right now, you know, Ash Golding, Dane Chisholm, you know, the young lad from Leeds,
Callum McClelland, yeah.
You know, and some of the try they scored again as well against Yarworth. I think it's going to be a Fev Toronto final. I think they're going to go to Toulouse and beat them. I think they owe one from the other week. And
I tend to agree with that, Ross. You know, Featherstone at this moment in time, they're similar to Salford. They've got all, and similar to Castleford as well. They've got all that momentum at the right time, the right end of the season, which is not too dissimilar to the great Bradford Bulls sides under Brian Noble all them years ago.
Toronto, Toulouse, that turnout, that outcome, to be expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 9,325. That is absolutely phenomenal for a club that is only 3 years old. And you've got to ask yourself, all these people who are like, well, you know, putting the flat cap on and taking the cigar out, and they're all talking about, we don't want Toronto in Super League, what do they bring? Well, there's your evidence, there's your proof. You know, we saw it at the weekend on Sunday evening, 9,325.
In this country.
Yeah.
They've won a lot of hearts and minds in this country. Yeah.
It's true, Robbie. They've got a lot of supporters. I'll be out there. You know, I'm pro expansion. You know, the future of the game has to, you know, involve New York, Ottawa, Toulouse, Toronto, Catalans. We have to have a wide as possible geographical footprint to draw the game.
But that's not, is that really wide? It's wider than what it is right now, but.
In the scheme of things,
it sounds like we're moving towards something called a transatlantic super league.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the way the NFL's going. Well, that's the way the NFL want to go. So I think, you know, if we keep in trend with everything, it's what's going to happen. You know, the world's getting smaller. And
Can you see it? The Kingston Town Kings.
if we get a franchise.
Head coach, there, CEO.
I'll be there. I'll be first up playing.
I'll tell you something, what's happening in the background, and this will make perfect sense. So when we say the Super League don't want Toronto in, when we say Super League, it's Robert Elston. The Super League clubs actually want Toronto Wolfpack to be promoted if they win the grand final a week on Saturday. Because the Super League clubs, Robbie, and this all goes back to that parochial nature and self-interest, because if Toronto go up into Super League, guess what happens next year? The other Super League clubs get their 1.8 million Sky Sports money.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why the Super
League
clubs...
They get a bigger
clubs,
piece because
yes,
Toronto don't
they
take their central distribution.
But then Toronto
funding.
Will take the money from their own commercial deal with Canadian broadcasters. Mm-hmm. But obviously, there is problems at the moment. As we said last week, you know, Bob Hunter, the newly appointed CEO of the Toronto Wolfpack, he's in regular discussions with Robert Elston, and Robert Elston is wanting more due diligence from the Toronto Wolfpack.
Yeah, do you know what it is, right? What people who don't like Toronto, I think if you went to Toronto and you experienced it out there, it's a sports mad city. Like, we were there for the NBA Finals, you know, and a few lads at Dewsbury, they were over there when they won the NBA Finals and the whole city went mad. Everyone were there watching any sport, you know. They just love sport, and I think it's showing with the Wolfpack. And, you know, after 3 years to be getting 9,000 fans at the games, you know, they're doing stuff that Super League clubs can't do right now. Do you know what I mean? And that's on the other side of the world where people are new to the sport. And I think they've just brought that match day experience. And, you know, you can't lie, their squad they've got so much talent in their squad across the board. You know, it's an exciting product to watch. And, yeah, I think they just bring a lot to the game, you know.
They will. They'll bring a lot to the game and to the party. We've got @Doming01, who is a Toronto lass that lives in Leeds. She's saying, by having Toronto, New York and others, it should make the UK Rugby League more appealing to UK players. It goes on also to say, instead of making the NRL the ultimate goal in their career. And you know what? She's got a really good point. Just imagine the East Coast of the US and Canada, all the way down that North America sort of pact, and just team after Jacksonville, New York, Miami, all the way down to the Bahamas and Jamaica and that, Kingston Town, Toronto, Ottawa, you know, that nucleus of local derbies up there, all the way up there. And then across the M62 divide, and I'm sure we could get a, you know, once Swinton work their stuff out, Manchester starts to grow. London, we can actually get a London team that actually wants to be a part of the joy. One in Cardiff, let's get something in Edinburgh or am I going too far? Leeds, all these plans.
There is actually plans for an Edinburgh team to join League One, just as there is a plans for a Dublin team. Yeah. So those plans are already there.
You know what would be great about Dublin, if they joined it, is every year they keep Dublin and Dublin.
That's terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Pro 12, Pro 16, you know, Rugby Union, they look at their leagues, you know, they've got, you got Scotland, Ireland, you got a team from South Africa playing in it, you got a team from Italy playing in it. Do you know what I mean? So Rugby Union have been doing this for a while, obviously outside the Premiership. But yeah, Rugby Union have been doing it for a while.
I agree, Ross.
And their leagues have been mixing countries and, you know, it's all about bringing everyone together and growing the game, and that's how it'll become stronger, I feel.
Let's be honest, bigger international reach, that is very attractive to commercial partners and networks.
Yep.
You know, we know that the consumption rate, how people consume sport, and that's a very marketing term, how they watch it, how they engage with it, is broken away from the traditional, let's go up to the game and watch it live. Let's go sit down on a Saturday afternoon and watch it live. Or let's read about it in the papers and talk about it around the water cooler on Monday morning. Let's read about it. It's now, we want it, you know, on our handsets, in our back pocket, flip it, and we want it when we want to watch it. And it's not just the traditional networks anymore. It's people, you know, the smaller bits and pieces can be now broke. The networkers are now little companies that can move very quickly and get those consumption rates out to the people that want it. And they can do it in a very cost-effective way. And as a sport, you know what's great about rugby league and what I don't think a lot of people have picked up on is how small we are. It's a very loud sport for a very tiny sport, but the size of the sport allows it to move quickly and adjust. And we're front runners in a lot of things. Look, I think we were first to introduce the touchline technology, you know, the video referees.
Yeah, the video referee. And first with the sim bins, 10 minutes in the sim bin.
Developing things like that is not strange for us. And because we don't have to then talk to a lot of international governing bodies that agree to it, we can move very quickly on adapting to circumstances. And I think, if anything, maybe use ourselves as a test marketplace and just start breaking it up and working that direction. Are we ready for a break? Okay. Look, loads to talk about here. The next section of the show, we want to come back and you guys just keep firing and anything you want to talk about. We're just from Drainer 2013. Evening, guys. Evening, Drainer. Thanks for joining us. Fire in any questions you got, anything you want us to discuss, and we'll discuss it here on the show. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live here at Pulse 2 Studios, in the studio with Ross Peltier and Mick Gledhill, and we're talking nothing but rugby league. We've just had Harry Jeffrey, number 9, up the Reggae Warriors again. Yep. He's loving it. He's loving it. He likes the sound of the Kingston Town Kings. Is that what you go for?
I don't know. We'd have to work one out, but yeah.
We're sending a challenge out to all the multi-billionaires on the east coast of the USA. Come and join the rugby league party. We'll introduce you. And you know what? You know what will happen? The British billionaires will get all angry and they'll want to join the party as well. And then we'll have a global game.
I mean, yeah,
because then you'll end up having East Coast, West Coast issues. So the West Coasters will jump up. And then we'll, you know, you see where I'm going with this.
There's a New York team who one of the Jamaica boys plays for. And if you see the view from their pitch, like you just see Manhattan skyline at the side of their pitch.
Surreal.
Mate, it's unreal. Like, there's an appetite for rugby league there. So, mate, it's unreal that when you see that.
Now, before we get on to what we're going to talk about, and that is, we should have brought it up last week, but Mick kept talking about his Tempe trips, was the Steve Prescott Man of Steel shortlist and also the Dream Team, which was announced last week. But first, before I go too far past, you're getting your learn on. Yeah. You're being a responsible professional athlete. Yeah. Oh, I just want to say this because if we've got any kids out there listening or any parents of kids that want their children to get into professional sports, this is the role models in which you want them to do. A little bit of real life living. So what are you doing, mate?
Yeah, thanks to RL Cares. You know, they got me going back to college. And
I love RL Cares.
Yeah, just getting me back doing some degree level certificates in building. Yeah, so, you know, they help all the players. There's a lot of players now. I think Minnie's going back to uni now. Sam Alice is. All of us are going back to, you know, learn because you can't play forever.
Great to see.
That is great. And you can't play forever. And it makes me wonderful to hear you guys are doing that and more players should be doing that. Because it does more than just gives you another tool to use for the rest of your life. Obviously, the old give someone a fish and they'll feed their family, but teach them how to fish and they'll feed them forever. Yeah. This will also give you the ability to mingle outside of that bubble, the rugby league bubble, and it helps you to be able to make that transition a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Because that will come, and you do have to make it. And when you only know one style of life, it can be really hard. Well, I mean, you know that. You came, you went into the professional world, you came out.
I've been
in
and out.
You've been in and out, shake it all about. That's Ross's, but great to hear that, and great to hear the other players are doing that too. Much respect to you, and good luck. Okay, so what do you want to talk about first? The Man of Steel?
Yeah,
or do you want to talk about the Dream Team?
Let's talk about the Steve Prescott Man of Steel.
Steve Prescott Man of Steel. So the five players on the shortlist: Blake Austin, Warrington Wolves; number two, Lachlan Coote, St Helens; number three, Jackson Hastings, Salford Red Devils. All of them Australians. Number four, Liam Watts, and number five, George Williams. Now, I'm going to give I always wait for a response, but I'm going to give my 5 cents on this. Blake Austin and Lachlan Coote started this season on it like a house on fire. Both of them, for me, probably through injury, mid to back end of the season, have both waned a bit. Lachlan Coote probably lost a lot of value for me with the performance in the Challenge Cup.
Yep.
Probably undercooked, come back from injury. And just unlucky in the fact that he wasn't able to get enough time on the ball, which is why we saw him miss kick in front of the post, basically. Drop catch that he'd catch in his sleep. Blake Austin, again, he's running around. It seems like he's running around on one leg. So we've not seen that dynamic attacking line that we've had. George Williams, for me, too late to the party.
Yes.
Wigan have got good, but in the back end of the season, he's been a big part of why Wigan's got good. Few flashes early in the season, but for me, too late in the season. For me, it comes down to Jackson Hastings, who's been consistent throughout the entire year, and Liam Watts, both of them. And look, but because I'm a halfback, I hate giving anything to donkeys who just run around, head down, backside up, and just power away. So I've got to go. Personally, I've got to back Jackson Hastings. And just to note, there's no bias here. I never covered any of the games where Salford were in. I know I'm the Steve Prescott Man of Steel there, and I never selected him. Oh, one, sorry. And he didn't get the man of the first thing. He got, I think, third. I chose him out.
So
he got 1 point. So what I'm trying to say is there's no bias here. I'm just trying to push my man through because I did choose Blake Austin a couple of times and Liam Watts.
How has it been on the panel, Robbie? Tell us a little bit, because I'm actually fascinated, because I don't know how it works. Do you have to go attend the game in person, or do you get sent a copy of the game?
You can do both. So the majority of the games I attended in person, and there was a game that I, for whatever circumstance, I can't remember now, I think a friend came over from New Zealand that I hadn't seen, so I actually got the game. But the game that you get is quite good because it's without the commentary, so you just focus, and you can be tailored by the commentary. So you get raw footage, and the reality is also you get to rewind. When you're live at the game, a lot of the time you're picking up rhythm, and you can get drawn into the emotion of it. But by having the game in a format that you can rewind it, you can go back and have a look at, okay, what was actually leading up to that? What led up to that? And I found that a big advantage, and I actually used that sort of approach a couple of times after watching the game. So it was good. It was great. The first thing I was looking for, are you doing your job? Because if you're doing your job, you're getting involved. It doesn't matter what position you're in, you're getting involved. And then I was looking for the icing on the cake. A lot of people might... So when I made my selection, some people come back to me and they said, oh, I thought X, Y, and Z had better games. They had better games. But for me, it was, okay, did they do their job first? What they did is the headline thing's great. They come up with, you know, might have scored three tries, but actually didn't see them for the rest of the game. On the end of good passes, got their names in the paper. But what I wanted to see was, are they doing their jobs first? You know, if you're a fullback, have you carried the ball for over 150 metres? If you're a front rower, have you been in the game longer than 40 minutes? I'm looking for 50 minutes on the game. And how many carries, how many efforts have you made in that time? And then against the quality of what it is that you're doing. So when you did, let's say that you only had 15 carries, which is a lot, did you scatter people? You know, did you get your nose down? Did you get quick play the balls? Did you create the momentum for your team? Did you do your job? Equally, when the defensive line was ramped up and lined up, looking to smash your wingers and edge players coming on, did you put your hand up and say, yeah, I'll carry this into the teeth of them, while they stood there with baseball bats? A lot of what I measure a front row of has to do with the player Joe Vaganaa. Joe Vaganaa, for me, was a quintessential front rower. He could do all the glorious stuff. He could hit me with a pass 60 metres flat, like a halfback can. He could do an offload, but the first thing he always did was put his hands up when he had to do a tough. You know, when it was the first or second carry of a set and he had got back, he put his hand up and went into the teeth of them and then got the momentum rolling forward. So that, for me, is the type of stuff. Geez, I went on a rant then, didn't I?
I'm going to say Jackson Hastings for mine. I don't think anyone is going to dispute that. But one player I think should have been on the list is Johnny Lomax. I think Johnny Lomax has had a fantastic season.
Oh, what about it?
And I know you talk about Lachlan Coote and what he was doing at the start of the season, but Johnny Lomax has done it consistently for mine. So I think Johnny Lomax can be a little bit annoyed that he's not in the running.
Now, this is interesting. I just want to put my 5 cents on Johnny Lomax before we come to Ross. When I was invited to choose my 1 to 13, for me, Johnny Lomax is definitely in my top three players of the season. But because I had Blake Austin and Jackson Hastings in front of him, I had nowhere to put him. Mm. I had nowhere to put him in my squad. I don't see him as a fullback because he's not really played a lot of fullback this year. I've seen him in the halves.
Yeah.
But for me, he's been probably the most important cog in St. Helens' success.
Agree.
But what we can also say is that they have played so well together, it's hard to just define him. He's the most important cog for me, but just to define him, whereas Blake Austin and Jackson Hastings have both been heads and shoulders for me. And that's my opinion, personal opinion, next to the rest of the players. Mm. What are your thoughts, Ross?
Yeah, I think everything you said was right, whether with Blake Austin and Lachlan Coote. I think, the Challenge Cup final really knocked Lachlan Coote out of running for it, really. I think, Jackson Hastings for me, because the effect he's had on that Salford team and you know, what he's done with that Salford team, and look how they're playing now, has been immense. But Liam Watts has been killing it all year, like, he's got a mad engine on him, and you know, as a front rower, he's a player you can admire because, he gets some work done.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the game caller Mick Little and the reggae warrior Ross Peltier. Let's just had a quick question from Harry Jeffrey 9. This is one of the reggae boys. Does he actually play with you guys? No?
Nah.
Just a mate of yours?
Yeah.
We've got actually, there's quite a few rugby players that have joined tonight. Leon Price was in. Guillotine 11. Lee Gilmore, that James Bentley also. Tell you what a popular show this is, gentlemen. Okay, so what Harry wanted to know was, what's the first stadium you've been to and the last stadium you've been to?
Yeah, first stadium for me was Valley Parade, watched Bradford City, and last one was Rochdale's ground, Spotland. Rochdale's ground, for the last game of the season.
Oddsall Stadium, 1988. And the last one, Rochdale.
1988. How old are you, Mick?
32.
Nice. That's a good age. That's a good age. Your 30s are your best age, I'm telling you.
Oh,
No, the 40s are, because I'm 43. What am I saying here? Gosh. What have I done? I've done something to all the comments. I've got rid of them. My first stadium was Carlow Park, the famous Carlow Park. It was the home of New Zealand Rugby League and Auckland Rugby League in Auckland City. It's now a car park. They sold it off, got a lot of money for it. My last stadium I went to was Headingley a couple of weeks ago. Went to watch them play against Warrington. Ended up doing the haka on the field for Jamie James Buchanan.
Yeah, great servant, Jamie James.
Starting
yeah.
a Wakarongo. We're not Māori again. Okay, so that's it for those two things. Look, let's look at the upcoming games this season. This weekend. Let me just open up that. We've got not that many games coming up this weekend because obviously the way it's structured, but they're important games.
Tomorrow night,
Salford Red Devils at home to Castleford Tigers. This is one of the worries because obviously we're talking about how low the attendance figures were for the Warrington game, and that's with one of the best supported teams in the competition. Now, Salford tomorrow night, one of the least supported teams in the competition. Geez, it'd be a good argument between them and London.
Yeah, probably. But I think if this game were
I mean, don't get me wrong. Look, if you're a Salford supporter, you're watching, you're a passionate supporter. I know you are. Obviously, moving from the Willows and selling the Willows and moving to what's it called?
AJ Bell, is it?
AJ Bell Stadium. It's made a big difference. And obviously, it's a much further way to travel. And we understand the argument. So we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it is one of the lowest attended. And I would hesitate to think that actually they don't have the season ticket prices built in also. And I'm not seeing any special ticket offers throughout this week. I don't know if you guys have. So
Castleford are putting on free coach travel for the first 700 fans. So
okay.
There's going to be at least 700 Castleford fans. And again, you know, I just shudder, you know, tomorrow evening watching the game. And all the focus and attention is going to be on the empty red seats. But, you know, it's going to be a great game, is that, Robbie? And I can't call it. I can't split them both.
One of the problems with Salford's ground is that they have their away team at the long end and their core supporters at the long end. And the cameras look upon the long side, which isn't a very... I mean, you can fill that with 2,000 people.
Yeah.
Isn't a lot of people, but what you end up looking at is empty seats.
Yeah, and I think Thursday night, was it 7:45 kickoff? You know, imagine living in Cass, fighting with M62 after work to get to Salford.
You've got
to
get past Manchester.
Because that's by Trafford Centre and everything.
You're going to have to leave before 5.
It's a nightmare.
You're going to have to leave before 5.
It's a nightmare.
To get
I think
there.
That's what's playing into this. You know, you've got to look at it logistic wise, and then you think, right, if I finish work 5:30, Castleford. Got to get there for 7:15. It's not going to happen. So,
I can sit at home. We'll go down the pub.
I can go to pub. I can go watch it at home. Have a few beers at home.
But there's nothing like watching a game live. We know that.
Yeah, but
there's absolutely no. So let's talk rugby league rather than that. What are your thoughts on it? But you know as well as I do. Look, having a full stadium and that wouldn't be hard to fill that stadium. And make it noisy. Make it emotional. Is makes you play differently.
It gives you a boost.
So, but how do we see the game going?
I feel Salford will beat Castleford after the Wigan game. I think Salford will edge it.
I can't split them, Robbie. I'm slightly leaning towards Castleford based on that performance at Warrington last week. I think Salford put just a little bit much more in against Wigan. I know you've got Liam Watson, Jackson Hastings, two of the Steve Prescott Man of Steel on show, but you know what, Castleford had the extra day off. I think it could literally come down to fitness in the last 10 minutes, but I will be absolutely shocked, and I'll say this next week on the show, I will be absolutely shocked if that's a blowout or either side win by more than 10 points.
I'm with you on that. I think it's going to be tight, but I'm gonna go with Salford as well. I just feel like Salford got this rhythm at the moment and they're playing at home and, you know, there's an emotional tie with this potentially being Jackson Hastings' last game. I think he's going to step up. He's enjoyed his time at Salford. Yeah. And, again, it might be my heart. You know, I've never played for Castleford, played for Salford. Might be my heartstring. So I'm going to back Salford. But, again, I'm with you. I think there's nothing in it. Okay, fast forward. Friday night, St. Helens versus Wigan. This is the big one. Local derby. What they claim to be the biggest local derby in the world of rugby league, and it always has been, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you see it going?
I mean, it's still Bradford Leeds, but I'm going Wigan for the win. I'm putting it out there. I'm putting my neck on the line. I'm going Wigan are going to win this one.
It should be a full house. Langtree Park or the Totally Wicked Stadium. It should be an 18,000 sellout. Hopefully it is. Ross has gone for Wigan. You know what? You know, you look at Wigan in the last third of the season. They've just, you know, kept plugging away, getting result after result after result. I think this is going to be close, but I think St. Helens will just have that much more experience and quality, and I think St. Helens will be the first team to book the place at Old Trafford in the Super League Grand Final.
All right, I think I'm going to go with St. Helens as well. We only got a few seconds left. St. Helens only because this isn't the Grand Final. If this is Wigan against Saints in the Grand Final, I'm not sure St. Helens have enough experience to win in the Grand Final, but there we got it. So we've got Thursday night, Salford, I think, over Cass, and St. Helens over Wigan. So there you heard it from us. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.